divided kingdom. And there's a lot of history. And you see this history in 1 and 2 Kings, 1 and 2 Chronicles. And, you know, there's a lot of interesting stories. And I think it's a part of the Bible, to be honest with you, I think that we neglect quite a bit. I think if I ask people to list for me how many kings of the northern kingdom or the southern kingdom can you list for me, I think, you know, we'd all kind of struggle, kind of scratch our heads. Well, I don't know, because we don't preach about them very much and we don't have very many Bible classes on them. But yet there's some very interesting interaction between these men and the prophets of God. And so therefore it is interaction between these men and God Himself as God gives them messages and tells what He expects of them. And, you know, those same expectations God still has for us today. Now, He doesn't expect us to follow the law of Moses, but it's still the same general expectation, right, to do what He says, to trust in Him. And that's where you see that many of these kings fail over and over again. What I'm going to do is we're going to do a quick survey of these guys, and I will tell you the king, kind of tell you when he reigned or how long he reigned, and I will give you two or three quick facts about him that you can write down so that you can kind of get an idea of these kings. Some of them reigned just a number of days. Some reigned many, many years. And so, you know, they are an interesting group of guys, to say the least. Well, last time we saw the United Kingdom. The United Kingdom consisting of Saul, David, and Solomon, and it lasted for 120 years under those kings. You remember, the people told Samuel, "We want a king." And God said, "If I give you a king, these are the things that are going to happen. They're going to abuse you. They're going to mistreat you." We saw David doing that with Bathsheba. And we talked about in our last lesson last week, as we talked about Bathsheba's father, we saw a man who lived the abuses of a king upon his daughter. And certainly Uriah was a victim of that. So God warned them about kings, and kings are going to be the downfall of both the northern and the southern kingdoms. Well, as we close the United Kingdom, Solomon heavily taxed the people for his expansion. Rehoboam, as I know that we discussed before, he had a chance. He had an opportunity to unite the kingdom under him. He had an opportunity to do this by simply lowering the taxes on the people. That's what the older advisors of Solomon told him, the men that had the experience, the men that had walked the path and knew what it was to govern. But Rehoboam didn't listen to the older men, did he? Rehoboam instead decided to listen to his buddies, the young advisors, those that were contemporary with him, and they said, "Stick it to them, don't lower taxes, because really, in essence, we'll lose out, right? We won't get all that money." They were looking to line their own pockets. Because of Rehoboam's foolish decision to continue to tax the people at the levels that Solomon had done so, the kingdom divided. It divided between the 10 tribes of the north, who were ruled by Jeroboam, and Jeroboam was ruler by prophecy. God had already prophesied of this occasion, or this event, and Rehoboam became the king of the southern kingdom of the tribes Judah and Benjamin. Well, we'll talk about Rehoboam first. Rehoboam, king of the south, and I will designate south and north for you, he reigned 17 years. Now, the things that we know about Rehoboam is just what I mentioned. He foolishly split the kingdom. You know, in his foolishness, we see that he followed in the exact footsteps of his father in the same sins. In fact, the Bible says this over and over about these different kings, that they followed in the sins of their father. A lot of the northern kings, the Bible will say, that they followed in the footsteps of Jeroboam, son of Nebat. But here it says that he followed in the sins of his father. He married many women, women that carried him astray, just as those women had carried Solomon astray in his life. The second thing was that Rehoboam was invaded by Pharaoh Shishak, and he took Solomon's great golden shields that he had. And in replacement of those golden shields, they put up bronze shields. Not quite as nice, right? Gold was, you know, that showed royalty and splendor. Bronze, not so much. So we see that the kingdom is not as great as it used to be. It is signified in these shields being lost to the Pharaoh of Egypt, Shishak. Well, we also see that he was going to go to war with Jeroboam. and they were preparing to fight. God commanded him not to go to war. Commanded him not to go to war to bring the northern kingdom into line. You know, they were about to have a civil war. It was just like the United States. You know, they had broken away, and we're going to go get them back. God said no. Rehoboam was not allowed. As we look at Jeroboam, king of the north, he reigned 22 years. And I guess he's most famous for having set up two golden calves. Now, these are not golden calves that worshiped to Baal or Egyptian worship. These were golden calves that you were to use or to worship God through. This was not pagan in the sense of, you know, it was a god. That he was still looking or saying that the people were going to worship God, but he had made his own way. A calf at Bethel and a calf at Dan, one in the north, one in the south. This kept the people from going to Jerusalem. And this is going to be the sin that never gets fixed. The northern kingdom, this will be the one thing that keeps them from ever being what God would have them to be. Because while we look at the southern kingdom and we see a handful of good kings and bad kings and kings kind of in between and some really, really bad, there is never a faithful king in the northern kingdom. Every single king that rules the northern kingdom is evil, sinful. And never, not a one ever does anything about what Jeroboam does in setting up the calves. You know, God will send a young prophet. We actually talked about him and our people. God wants you to know, sent the young prophet to rebuke the altar right there at Bethel. And he went there and he rebuked that altar. And it split open and the ashes spilled out. And Jeroboam put out his hand to have the prophet punished, and his hand shriveled up, right? And he couldn't bring it back. He had to ask for God to heal him. God has a way of making you look to Him, right? And God did, but it didn't cure. He may have cured his arms, but he did not cure his arm, but he did not cure his spiritual problems. Well, Jeroboam drove out the Levites from the northern kingdom, instituted his own priesthood. And Jeroboam was also the one that had a son that died in the process of trying to deceive a prophet of God. Remember the old blind prophet Ahijah? He sent his wife there and told her to kind of go in disguise. And the minute she walked in, he said, "Hey, wife of Jeroboam." Hard to fool a prophet of God. He said, "When you return to your city, when you enter the city, he will die." And the Bible tells us an interesting thing in that death is that God did this to spare him, because God saw something good in that. I've always found that one of the most unique things in the Old Testament. God saw something good in him and did not want that child to suffer the fate that Jeroboam's family is going to suffer as a result of his sin. We see the second king in the southern kingdom, Abijah. He takes the throne in the 18th year of Jeroboam's reign. He's going to reign 3 years. He went to war with Jeroboam. He had a temporary victory over Jeroboam. Jeroboam outnumbered him, had him surrounded, and he still won the battle. But it wasn't because he was faithful. You know, it's probably as much punishment to Jeroboam as it was any kind of reward to Abijah. In fact, he stands up there and he's bragging about how good he is, right? He's standing up there at the battlefield before the battle. He's bragging, and while he's bragging, Jeroboam's surrounding him. He still wins the battle. The Bible says that he walked in the sins of his father as well, and he too had many wives and was not what God wanted in a king. So we see after his death, Asa became king in the south. He reigned for 41 years. So we've gone from men that reigned fairly short to one who reigned for many, many years. Asa begins his reign as a God-fearing king. He is faced early on with 1 million Ethiopians or Cushites that come to conquer the land. 1 million is what the Bible says. Asa says, "That's okay. I've got God on my side." Oh, if the Israelites had had that attitude all the time, right? He didn't fear. He trusted in God. He looked to God, and they routed them. And they drove them back, and they conquered the cities. He even, at one point, kicked out his own mother. Asa kicked his own mother out of the city because she was a pagan. And the Bible tells us that he burned her, and I quote, horrid image. She had some kind of horrid pagan image, and he burned it in the Valley of Hinnom. Does that sound familiar? The Valley of Gehenna. The word that will in the New Testament be the word that Jesus uses for hell. And he burned that image there in that unclean valley. He was the pusher of two great religious reforms. And yet, as good as Asa started, Asa will not end well. Asa will. I mean, one thing we see from these guys is they are all human and they all have their frailties. And Asa had his moment of weakness. He faces down 1 million Ethiopians, right? And then he wants an alliance with Ben-Hadad of Syria, a pagan nation, to help secure the land, as if he needed any help with God on his side. And God sends him a messenger and tells him he should not do this. And Asa imprisons the messenger. That's not smart, is it? So he, in the end, lost the faith that he had so strong early on. In the northern kingdom, in the second year of Asa's reign, Nadab becomes king. He rules. He reigns for 2 years. He is evil like his father Jeroboam. He dies a violent death at the hands of Baasha. And Baasha killed all of Jeroboam's kin, fulfilling the prophecy of Ahijah. Remember that? When I just told you just a moment ago, when the wife took the son to the prophet, he said that they would all die, but the boy was going to be spared by God, that fate. This is it. Baasha kills the entire family line of Jeroboam, bringing it to an absolute end. Baasha then becomes king there in the north in the third year of Asa's reign. And he reigned for 24 years, and he brought the house. First point is that he brought the house of Jeroboam to an end. Second, he moved the capital from Bethel to Tirzah. And he was in constant conflict, third, with King Asa throughout his reign. We see then after his reign, in the 24th year of Asa's reign, Elah became king in the north. And he reigned for 2 years. First thing we know about him, he was a drunk. And the second thing, he's going to die a very violent death at the hand of Zimri. Now Zimri, you don't get much press on Zimri. He just didn't stay around long enough to get much press. There was a trivia question in the bulletin, I guess a couple of months ago, about him. He began reigning in the 27th year of Asa's reign, and he reigned for 7 days. He put an end to the house of Baasha. He killed every relative that Baasha had. So, here, Baasha killed all of Jeroboam's relatives, right? And now Zimri kills all of Baasha's relatives. I mean, you see this constantly in the northern kingdom. You'll never see this in the southern kingdom. It's going to be attempted once, and we'll see that this evening. But you'll never see this in the southern kingdom because you can't destroy the line that's going through the southern kingdom, right? That's the line of David going through the southern kingdom. And here in the northern kingdom, when you want to remove a king and you want to become king, I mean, it's just like the kingdoms of the world in the northern kingdom, you kill everybody. Because you don't want a son popping up later, right? Claiming the throne, causing civil war. You want everybody dead. I mean, just one child is going to be the one thing that keeps that from happening in the southern kingdom a little bit later. Well, Zimri, second of all, reigned only 7 days, as we've already mentioned. And third, he committed suicide. He went into his house and he set it on fire and burned it down around himself while he was being pursued. He was being pursued at that time by a man named Omri. And you could almost change that name a little bit and make him Omri, because he really was. Omri was... He became king in the north in the 31st year of Asa's reign. All these kings are changing place in the northern kingdom, and Asa's still over there. We're still in the 40s, you know, the years of Asa's reign. 31st year of Asa's reign, he reigned 6 years. 11 years if you count the 5 years that he spends in civil war after the death of Zimri. He brought great vengeance against Zimri. He moved the capital again. You know, I guess in the northern kingdom, it was just figure out where the capital's at, because they just keep moving it back and forth. He moves it from Tirzah to Samaria, and he is by far the worst king up to this point. His son will take take his throne in that regards. And his son is someone we know very well. Ahab was Omri's son. He became king in the north in the 38th year of Asa's reign. And he reigned for 22 years, and he is worst of all the kings before him. He is a contemporary of Elijah. So many of those stories that we know with Elijah are taking place between Elijah and Ahab, Elijah and Jezebel, his wife. And that's the second point, that he married Jezebel. And Jezebel, understand this, is not a Jew. Jezebel is a Phoenician. And she brings the pagan religions of the Phoenicians to the people. Ahab will institute, introduce Baal worship into Israel, the northern kingdom. And he will die in battle with Syria. Remember the one that the guy just turned around and shot the shot blind and got him? Of course, it wasn't because the guy was a good archer, was it? It's because someone was guiding the arrow. Because remember, he had taken the vineyard of Naboth. Oh, he had pouted and cried to Jezebel, "I want that vineyard, he won't give it to me." And Jezebel had worked it out to have Naboth stoned to death and give the vineyard to Ahab. And he was so happy. And yet he was told by the prophet at the very place that they washed the blood of Naboth was shed, your blood will be there one day too, and the dogs will lick it up. That's never a good thing when they talk about dogs licking up blood. That's a great dishonor. And sure enough, they took the chariot which he bled to death in back to that spot where they stoned Naboth and washed it out, and the dogs came and licked his blood. God is in control. So Ahab dies in battle. Well, while Ahab is reigning, we have a new king in the southern kingdom. In the south, Jehoshaphat becomes king, and he's going to reign for 25 years. He's going to bring about great religious reform. He is one of the good kings. He does make a terrible mistake as well toward the end of his life. He is good like his father Asa. He fortified the cities of Judah, but he made a terrible mistake in that he allied with Ahab, and then Ahab's son, Jehoram, and married his son to Jezebel's daughter, Athaliah. Let me tell you what. You may think you have a bad mother-in-law, buddy. I promise you, your mother-in-law is a sweetheart. Imagine having Jezebel as your mother-in-law. Okay, you know, we use that name Jezebel to mean a lot of things, but this is the actual product right here. This is where the name came from. He married his son to Jezebel's daughter, Athaliah. We'll see her in just a moment. Well, in the north, Ahaziah becomes king after Ahab, and he, in the 20th year of Jehoshaphat's reign, and he reigned for 2 years. He had an accident, and he was injured. And he calls for Elijah. am I going to be okay? Well, he doesn't first call Elijah. He calls Elijah after. He calls others that couldn't tell him. And Elijah says, "You're a dead man. You're not going to make it." And he doesn't, obviously. And he leaves no children, so he is succeeded by his brother, the one we mentioned just a moment ago. In the 22nd year of Jehoshaphat's reign in the north, Jehoram became king, Jehoram. And he reigned for 11 years. What he is known for is that King Mesha of Moab revolted while he was king. He was contemporary with the prophet Elisha. He was king during the siege and the famine at Samaria. If you remember the siege and famine at Samaria, that's when the king is, he's out there and a woman, there's two women crying on the wall, and they say they ate their child because they were so hungry. They literally ate their children. And the army suddenly left because of God. He was wounded at Ramoth-Gilead. He was killed by a man named Jehu. Well, in the south, we see Jehoram becoming king, another Jehoram. And he reigned 7 years, and this is one of Judah's worst kings. And he's contemporary with the prophet Obadiah. And he married, this is the one that married Athaliah, Jezebel's daughter. And he wasn't a great guy either. He killed six of his brothers. I mean, this is a murdering man. He is evil, just like his wife. He receives a letter from Elijah. Now, there's some arguments. I don't have a problem with him receiving a letter from Elijah after Elijah's died. Elijah did some pretty amazing things, didn't he? Or I'm sorry, did I say Elijah died? See, some of y'all should have caught that. I'm ashamed of y'all. Elijah went to heaven, right? In a fiery chariot. He didn't die. But, you know, Elijah sent him a letter, but Elijah's already gone. But he gets a letter from him. I've often joked that I'd love to see the postmark that was on that letter. That letter was not a good letter. It was a letter predicting his death, and it was going to be a hideous death. And the Bible tells us that he suffered terribly many days, a terrible illness. And I don't understand. I don't know what this means, and I don't, you know, it doesn't sound good. I don't, you know, whatever it means, it's bad. It says, and his bowels fell out, and he died. I don't understand what that means, but I promise you, I don't want it to happen to me. And God's punishment was very severe upon this man. 2 Chronicles chapter 21 and verse 20 tells us that he died to no one's regret. Isn't that sad? That you die and no one cares? And no one regrets that you're dead? That shows a sad life. That shows an evil life. That no one cared that you died. After Jehoram, Ahaziah became king of the south. He reigned less than a year. He was the son of Athaliah and Jehoram. He was injured and died while visiting Jehoram in Israel by Jehu. Now, I want you to understand that we're about to talk about Jehu in the northern kingdom, but Jehu's going to kill two kings in one day. Jehu is the next king in the northern kingdom. He reigned for 26 years. He killed all of the house of Ahab, everyone. Both kings of the north and the south, they were meeting together, and he attacked, killed one, injured the king of the southern kingdom, injured Ahaziah, but he would go on to die. He destroyed the Baal worshipers. I love that story because he called them all in for a kind of a get-together party. He's going, you know, he's telling them basically, hey, I'm a Baal fan too. Let's all get together and have a little Baal celebration. He gets them all in the same building and kills them all. And you think, way to go, Jehu. It's not a sign of good things. It was needed. But it wasn't a sign of Jehu being a good man because he quite simply was not. The one thing I want to look back, after we see Ahaziah die, Athaliah becomes the leader in the southern kingdom. I don't know if we can call her queen or not. She wasn't truly, kind of the coronated leader. She was the one that was left, and she was mean enough to hold the post. So she became, some people, when you read some outlines, you'll see that they don't even mark her, they don't list her in the numbers. Like if you're going from, if it's numbering the kings, it'll have Athaliah's number, and they'll actually put an X there, and you'll go from 6, X, 7. They don't count her. Even though she ruled for 6 years, she killed everybody in the lineage of David, except for one. She missed one. That was her mistake. He was hidden in the temple by a man named Jehoiada. And he held the child, he took care of the child, Joash, for 7 years, right? He took care of him and hid him there. And on the day that he brought him out to be king, she came running down into the temple courtyard, wanted him killed. They said, kill her, but wait till she gets outside the temple, right? Don't kill her in here. She took off. You know, if I'd heard that, I'd have stayed in the temple, right? She wasn't too smart that day. She ran out and they killed her the minute that she left the grounds of the temple. And Joash became king. We'll pick up with him and the ones in ones after Jehu next Sunday night. Like I said, we're going through these kind of quick. But they're interesting characters. A lot of interesting things happened. You know, it would be a great study to take time and just look at the kings of the divided kingdom, because a lot of things happen. And you see God's hand in many of these things. You see God's attitude toward a lot of things. And I think that's important for us, and it's valuable for us. But you know, one thing we do see when we look at the kings is we see that some were good, some were bad. And they chose that. And good and bad had to do with one thing, and that was their trust in God. Will you trust God? Will you trust Him in all aspects of your life? Or will you look for help from somewhere besides God? Because you don't trust Him enough to help you, to take care of you like Asa did. Or will you forget about God and worship pagan idols like Jeroboam did, and so many, and all the kings of the northern kingdom? And I'm not talking about, I don't think we're worshiping golden calves. I don't think anybody here would be worshiping golden calves or images made of stone. But let me tell you what, we worship paper, don't we? Sometimes. We worship those dollars. We let things get in between us and God like that. That's an idol. Sometimes we worship our jobs, we worship our activities. We put a lot of things in front of God, and that's just as much idolatry as it was bowing down to Baal. We need to be careful. When you look at these kings and how God responded to them, you see how God looks at idolatry. You see how He views putting anything before Him. He does not view it well. You know, we do not have to worry about Him causing us to be terribly sick or striking us dead, as we see Herod in the New Testament. But God still just is displeased. Just because He doesn't bring judgment immediately upon us like He did sometimes in the Bible doesn't mean that God's changed one bit, because folks, God doesn't change. The same God in 1 Kings, 2 Kings, 1 Chronicles, 2 Chronicles, and in fact any book of the Bible you want to list, is the same God that looks down upon you today. Looks down upon me today. He wants faithfulness. He wants us to burn the idols of our lives. Destroy them. Just as Asa did his mother's idol. But you know, these kings chose to be good, and they chose to be evil. And the question for us today is, what do we choose? Joshua said, as his life came to an end, as they were in the land of Canaan finally, and they had settled in, He said, choose you this day whom you will serve. And every one of these kings chose, didn't they? They walked in the path of somebody. Some walked in the path of Jeroboam, son of Nebat. Some were praised and said they walked in the path of their father David, who walked like God, who had a heart given to God. Whose path do you walk in tonight? Are you walking in the path of Jesus Christ, leading you to the Father, because He is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one gets there except by Him, except by following the path that He has set forth, walking in the light as He is in the light. This evening, if we can assist you in any way with your spiritual life and making the choice that you need to make to give your life wholly to God, we hope and pray that you will let us as we stand and as we sing.
I keep Jesus waiting.